You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
And on the line, we have got Prime Minister Chris Hipkins. Morena, Chris, it's nice to have you on the show for the first time.
Good morning. Good to be here.
It's great to have you along. It's been quite an intense start to your role as Prime Minister. And we're going to talk about the cyclone and the Auckland flooding this morning because, I mean, there's not really much else we really should be talking about right now. We're in the heart of, I guess, disaster time. So we're sort of thinking urgent and we're thinking in the short term. Have you heard from all the affected areas yet? Have we had communication from all those spots, particularly up in the east, that have been cut off?
Yeah, we've managed to establish good communication. Although when I say good, maybe good communication might not be the right word. We've managed to establish some communication, but in areas that it's certainly limited. And we're continuing to work on how we can improve that.
We have heard, obviously, here in Tamaki Makaurau, there's been two crises in the last month, which has been quite exhausting for communities, and there are still a lot of displaced people. We've seen a big support package announced from your government this week and indications that there will be future ones as well. But for folks right now who are in, you know, displaced situations, where should they be turning for financial and community support?
Yeah, the best place to go if you're looking to see what's happening in your local area, the local Civil Defence and Emergency Management Office. So look them up. They'll have information on what's happening in your local area and where you can get support. So in Auckland, you know, Auckland Civil Defence, they've been doing a fantastic job. They've had people around the clock providing that information, providing that support and coordinating it to make sure it's getting into the right place.
Obviously, for businesses as well, there's going to be a really long-term recovery that's needed, particularly in Hawke's Bay. What kind of support can business communities expect to see from future packages? There's obviously been some immediate support announced, but there has been indications of future support. What can they be anticipating from that?
Yeah, we need to work carefully to make sure we're addressing the need. So we've put quite a bit of money in already just for that immediate response, just to help people get through the next few days and weeks. But there's going to be more required. What we've got to do is make sure that money ends up in the right place. So we look at the business community, look at the agricultural community. We know that the damage is variable. So some people, if you take orchardists, some people have lost 100% of their crops, while others are still out there picking apples today. Mm. So we've just got to make sure that we're getting the support to the right place, which is why, you know, a blanket across the board wage subsidy, which some people have suggested we should be doing, isn't actually going to be the best way to support the businesses who need that support the most.
Mm, absolutely. What kind of conversations are you having with those communities at the moment? How is that channel being opened?
We've got teams on the ground in those areas. So yesterday I announced that we've got a lead minister for each of the affected areas so that we can have those more intensive discussions. We can make sure we're working with local government. You know, the local councils will have a really important role here. We can work with, you know, iwi, we can work with local community groups, we can work with local business groups to really get each of those communities getting the support that it needs. This isn't going to be a sort of a top-down approach. It's going to have to be a bottom-up approach. So what we're trying to do is make sure that we've got our central government support structured in a way that reflects that.
Now, looking into the, I guess, the more medium term here as well, and the long term really, the IPCC 2022 report has said that a key risk for New Zealand is our government systems will fail to cope with large climatic events that have a national impact. And that is also with the repeated events that we are already seeing. In your speech yesterday in Parliament as well, I was interested that you said the worthy needs to give way for the urgent. What worthy projects are being put aside and what is an urgent project in your mind at the moment?
Well, if you see, we've already done a few bits of reprioritisation. So things like the TVNZ Radio New Zealand merger, that's off the table. The biofuels mandate is off the table. It's not necessarily the best way to deal with our emissions profile or to bring our emissions profile down, and it raises a bunch of other issues. And we've deferred further work on things like the social unemployment insurance, because now's not necessarily the best time to be doing that. Key priorities are going to be tackling the cost of living. We know that that's really hurting New Zealand families, making sure that we're supporting people through the rebuild, and making sure that we're building back more resilient. Dealing with climate change, you've got to do both. You've got to make sure that you're tackling the causes of climate change, but you've also got to make sure that we're building back in a more resilient way so that we can be better prepared for these kind of extreme weather events, which we're likely to see more of.
And looking into that, I guess, long-term resilience as well, what conversations are starting to be had about how we might be moving into that space as a country? Because we are going to see these repeat weather events. You know, it's indicated that it's going to be a massive strain on our government systems. What is the government starting to think about so that we can support those communities that we are already seeing the most affected in a long-term way so that they can live and not just survive from event to event?
We've got to look at what we build and where we build. We've got to look at the sustainability of some of our practices. So if you take forestry, for example, there's clearly some legitimate concerns there around the way we are harvesting forestry, you know, leading to significant pollution of our beaches and waterways. So we've got to look carefully at that. Of course, for sustainable farming has been an area of focus for us for some time now, and it's going to continue to be. And many of the people I speak to in the rural community really accept the need for that. So, we've got a lot of work ahead of us, but there's no question we're going to have to live more sustainably.
How do you think we start balancing things? Obviously, this is looking past this immediate crisis moment as well, but how do we start balancing things that have, you know, benefit to the community and to communities in a way that's less sort of easy to track than, financial and sort of survival-based things? I'm thinking about the arts, and I'm thinking about how we make spaces more resilient in a community sense. I'm also thinking about how we've got an austerity budget essentially coming through from the Auckland Council here at the moment, and there's a lot of community concern about that. What would be your thoughts at the moment about how we start to think about balancing those things in a long-term sense for our communities?
We've just for the 5 years we've been in government, and this year will be no different, we've had a well-being approach to the budget. So we've been looking at a balanced set of measures that's not just about balancing the finances. Of course, we've got to keep doing that. That's what responsible governments do. But we've also got to make sure that we're investing in those other areas that are really important. Social services, the public services that New Zealanders rely on, have to continue to be an area of focus for us. You know, people want to live good lives. We want to make sure that people's well-being is taken care of. And that includes things like the arts and those other things that actually make life worth living.
How much do you think climate change is going to be coming into this conversation leading into the election this year? I think perhaps that we're seeing it more than we would have a month ago in the political discourse. But do you think this is going to really shape the conversation this year?
Oh, climate change is going to be a huge topic in the election campaign. It's mind-boggling to think that we've still got some members of Parliament who seem to be questioning whether or not it's real. It is real. We're dealing with it every day, and I think most New Zealanders see the effects of it every day.
What's next for you this morning? I know it's a very busy time for you. What are your next moves today, particularly when it comes to the cyclone effort?
Obviously, we're tracking the recovery and the response effort here in Wellington. I've got my first question time for the year in Parliament today, and then tomorrow I'm heading back out again. I'm heading back to the Hawke's Bay tomorrow, and hopefully up to Northland on Friday.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Prime Minister Chris Hipkins. It's great to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Good as gold.
Kia ora. Take care. Bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.